But now Defense Department brass say they're taking into account how climate change will affect DOD's mission. A new policy requires DOD component leaders to consider climate change in their decision-making. Some say the move better prepares the military for the future. Others complain it's just an extra burden. Federal News Radio's Scott Mossione has more.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration recently reported that 2015 was the hottest year on record. That's bringing up a lot of talk about climate change and how the government will be affected by it. Just days before NOAA's announcement, the Defense Department released a new policy directive integrating climate change considerations into multiple aspects of the department. The memo states that DOD must be able to adapt current and future operations to address the impacts of climate change in order to maintain an effective and efficient U.S. military. To do that, the Pentagon is requiring DOD components to assess the effects of climate change on the department's mission and take into account those effects when developing plans and implementing them. That means that climate change will be under constant consideration from things like war missions, to acquisition programs, to readiness plans, to construction projects. The policy appoints the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Energy, Installations, and Environment as the primary climate change adaptation official. He will oversee DOD resilience research and development dealing with climate change. The directive also gives the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics the authority to establish climate change boards to integrate climate change issues into DOD policies and programs. The new policy was spurred by a number of things. Here's Vice President of Energy Policy at the Center for American Progress, Greg Dotson, to explain one of them.
The Department of Defense has 7,500 locations around the world that they believe could be impacted by climate change. When the Government Accountability Office looked at this issue a few years ago, they reported back that the Department of Defense had identified climate change and the effects associated with it, such as rising temperatures or sea level rises, as having potentially significant impacts on DOD infrastructure. Thawing permafrost, decreasing sea ice, rising sea levels, all of these things associated with climate change could have a significant impact on government-owned facilities. The Department of Defense had identified the same risks. Some of the officials on site had actually already started to observe these risks and these impacts, and they saw damaged seawalls. They saw damaged runways, greater coastal erosion, and however, the Government Accountability Office reported that DOD, as of a couple years ago, had not assessed what their vulnerabilities were, and they had not put in plan a way of getting that done. So I think DOD has been responding, and this is the latest iteration.
While part of the policy is aimed at the internal assessment of climate change, the directive also looks at operational aspects. For example, the Chief of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is tasked with assessing security risks posed by climate change. Special Operations is asked to plan for disaster relief from climate change impacts and a lack of natural resources. DOD also wants to partner with industry on ways to brace for climate change and reduce the department's energy consumption. Here's policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation, Brian Slattery, on industry's role.
A lot of these alternative energy sources, for example, that I suppose would reduce carbon dioxide emissions, have potential benefit, are things like flexible solar panels that have been used to relatively beneficial effect in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. But the reason that the driving forces behind that was what can reduce our cost, what can reduce our logistical tail, and because transport of fuel was where our military was most vulnerable oftentimes in the engagements in Iraq and Afghanistan. A reduction of having to transport that fuel was potentially protecting the lives of service members and enhancing operational effectiveness in the process.
The military and industry have already partnered to cut back on emissions and increase the use of alternative fuels. The Navy recently kicked off its Great Green Fleet. Some of the carriers within the fleet will use a mixture of beef fat and petroleum to fuel their engines. The fuel was created by a company called Alt Air. DOD bought the fuel for $2.05 a gallon, and the Agriculture Department kicked in 14 cents a gallon to benefit American farmers that provided the fats. The Navy is currently working toward a number of energy-saving goals. It plans to use alternative energy sources for 50% of its energy consumption by 2020. The Navy also wants to evaluate energy factors when it's awarding contracts for systems and buildings. While climate change is becoming more salient, some experts think DoD needs to keep its focus on the task at hand. Here's Slattery again.
The real problem behind this is that ultimately the Department of Defense's strategy should be guided by what is making it the most capable military of defending U.S. interests. And so I'm concerned that this is just at best going to cloud DoD's judgment in that regard and act as a distraction, because a lot of the directives, a lot of the bullet points within this directive, it's kind of like putting climate change on top of things that the Department of Defense is already doing. So if anything, it will be just further emphasis on considerations that planners in the military and those who execute those plans are already taking into consideration. And I guess a more negative outcome is that it just creates more reporting requirements.
However, Dodson feels differently about the requirement.
You have scientists and you have national security experts. You have retired generals and admirals and active duty generals and admirals all telling us that climate change is a very serious issue for the nation's military, and why anyone would argue that they should not be factoring that serious issue into their operations and planning for the future doesn't make any sense to me. For example, Admiral Locklear recently, a couple years ago, but announced, and I think this sort of indicates where military experts have been going on this, is that climate change, in his view, is probably the most likely thing to cripple the security environment more than any of the other scenarios that everyone always talks about. This is not something that's being brought in from left field. This is a timely and important topic to be addressed.
From Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this